Please rise. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man born blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" There has to be a reason. Why? People aren't just born blind. There has to be a reason. Someone has to be at fault. Could have been the man. He must have sinned somehow before he was even born. Must have been his parents. Yes, it must be them. They sinned a horrible sin sometime in their life that cost their son, their future son, his sight. After all, there is always a consequence to one sin. Well, if there's going to be someone who will answer the question, it's Jesus. So, yes, the disciples asked the why question to Jesus. The why question. Even though they didn't say why, that's exactly what they meant. Why was this man born blind? His fault or his parents? Has to be a reason. So Jesus gives them an answer. But we'll get back to his answer in a few moments. Oh, by the way, Jesus does give them an answer, but it's not the answer to the question that they were expecting. They were expecting a different kind of answer. Jesus also does the very same with you and with me. Back to the why. Isn't it true that when your child's small, you wish you could talk to your child, but then when they become a toddler, you wish they would not talk so much and ask you, why? There were many times I would say to my sons, "Stop asking me why. Just understand what I'm saying." But it's natural for children to say, why? Why me? Why him? Why her? Why this? Why that? Why now? You and I are always tempted to focus on the why. The evil one does not want you to trust in your Lord God Almighty. So he'll tempt you to focus day and night on the why. Finally, Satan will bring you to tempt God, to test God. Remember just a couple of weeks ago, what did Jesus tell us? "Thou shalt not test the Lord thy God." But people have short memories, don't they? Why? There has to be a reason. Someone has to be at fault. I want a reason right now, God. And I want the reason, I want the answer right now. No waiting. Who's at fault? Who did it? Someone must be to blame. Deep down, dear one, what you're really asking is you want to make sure that you're not the one who will be blamed. It's hard. I know that it's very hard to accept the fact that sometimes things happen in this world that we can't explain. We do live in a fallen world, right? Isn't it obvious to you that we live in a fallen world? Yet there are so many people who do not accept that answer. Just like the man who was born blind, it's very, very hard to accept. Why? Why was he born this way? Why? You can drive yourself mad trying to find an answer to that question. Trying to find just the right answer. Oh yes, your pastor's heard this question so many times. If I had a nickel, I could retire. And actually, sadly, every single time when I hear the word why, I know what's going to follow. Why did God allow this to happen to me? Like you're someone special. Like you're out of bounds for God. Well, the answer is, that's God's way. That is His will. And we trust His will. Since the Lord doesn't give you or me an answer, there is this endless pursuit of the answer. And dear one, your pursuit of the answer will be fruitless. My dear one, it's actually dangerous. You don't like God's answer, so you'll take it upon yourself to think as God would think, and then you try to rationalize how God is thinking so that you can have an answer that you will accept. You see, the devil's a master at leading you to think this way. He convinces you that you're really a good person, and therefore God is being unfair to you. Simply put, the answer that you want is that you're not really that bad of a sinner. And then Satan, yes, will tempt you to blame God. Blaming Him for all of your whys. No, I haven't forgotten. But before we get to our Lord's answer, allow me to refresh your memory of the disciples' question, and then I'm going to ask another question. The disciples asked, do you remember, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And now let me ask you this question. Are the disciples looking for a law answer, or are they looking for a gospel answer? They're looking for a law answer. After all, they're asking a law question. Whose fault is it that this man was born blind? Remember, the law is all about what we do. The law is given to show us our sin. Remember, the law is a mirror. It shows us who we are and what we're destined for if we don't repent and believe in our Lord. The disciples are asking a law question and looking for a law answer, which in and of itself, it's actually not wrong. It's just that Jesus is not going to give them a law answer. He gives them a gospel answer. Jesus said, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. In other words, the man nor his parents sinned and that resulted in his blindness. Blindness is just one way that the curse of sin shows itself in this sinful, fallen world. Suffering happens. Suffering occurs in our lives. It happens to you. It happens to your children. It happens to me. It happens to my children. No one's exempt. After all, that happened to the Son of God. Yet rest assured, Rest assured, dearly beloved, Jesus came into this world to redeem the world, to reverse the curse of sin. And so he will display his work and his divine power by what he does to this man and what he does for you. Our Lord continues by saying, "We must work the works of him who sent me while it is still day. Night is coming when no one can work. For as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Jesus has come into this world to defeat sin and death and darkness for you, to bring light in dark places into this dark wilderness that we are now treading. Jesus demonstrates his work as he spits on the ground, makes mud with his saliva, and then plasters the man's eyes with the mud and tells him to go wash it off in the pool of Siloam. By the way, you remember, Siloam means sent. Jesus sends him to wash. How does he get there? Scripture doesn't tell us, and it's actually irrelevant. It's an irrelevant question. The point is that the man hears and he obeys. He goes to the pool of Siloam. He washes. He sees. Not only does he see physically with his eyes, but we hear that he will soon see with eyes of faith. Later on, he will confess that Jesus is a prophet who speaks the truth, the word of God. And then you have the bulletin front. That is a bulletin worthy to put on your refrigerator, especially in the days and times that we're living in now. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. So are you ready for your Lord's answer to his disciples then and his disciples today? Jesus is essentially telling us, dear one, he's essentially telling us, stop wasting your time attempting to track down answers to the why question. You will not find an answer. Instead, admit and accept that such things happen in this world because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. And then rejoice. Rejoice that Jesus has come to reverse the curse of sin for each of you. That's Jesus' answer to why. Resist the temptations of the evil one. Resist the why questions. Humble yourself before a holy and just God. You don't have the ability to find the answer by what you do or think or say anyway. Trust God. Believe in him. Stand firm. Believe. Yes, Jesus has a better answer, doesn't he? It's a word that the world does not like. It's a word that many Christians don't like. Repent. Repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Confess that you're a sinner. Come to your Lord with a broken and contrite heart, that he will not despise. You know you can't save yourself. You know you can't handle the truth. Words from a famous movie. Because Jesus has already handled it for you, and he is the truth. Instead, look to that which is rock solid, as you've heard in our children's message. That which is rock solid. Focus on Jesus. Fix your eyes on your Lord, who is the author and perfecter of your faith. Look to the cross. Here, dear one, you have the blessed assurance that no matter what has happened to you, what has happened to your children or your grandchildren or your family or friends, that here Jesus has taken all of those sins and nailed them to his bloody cross. He has not left you forsaken. He has not left you to an eternity of misery. No, he has suffered, and he has died, and he has risen, and he is coming to take you into resurrection glory forever and ever. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And finally, remember, dear ones, that you too have been washed. Just as Jesus added his powerful word to mud, he's added his powerful word to water. And here, you have been washed, and you have been given the gift of life and the Spirit and salvation and light. You are the illumined ones. You are the enlightened ones. You know the truth, and the truth has set you free. Not only that, he has added his word to bread and wine. And here he comes to you, and he serves you that divine meal that is for the forgiveness of your sins, to strengthen your faith into life and salvation. And then one day, on that glorious day, you will see. You will see your Lord face to face. And finally, there are many, many whys in this life, even today. Why are some people suffering? And why does it seem that some people aren't suffering? You and I really don't know that. But the suffering answers, the why questions will remain unanswered. But the Lord makes his answer to you perfectly clear. He declares that he has come into this world to shine his light in this dark world and to shine the light of grace upon each and every one of you. He has gone to the cross to die for you. He rose on the third day to deliver you into everlasting life. Stand firm. Do not be afraid. Believe and be assured that all of your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guards your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus now and forever. Amen.